This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So now, by the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have reached the first principle of shirk, even though we've gone through quite a bit already. The first principle of shirk, and we're now actually getting to the four principles that he was talking about in the beginning, that the mushrikeen were based upon, and these were the principles that they called to and believed in. So he goes, Al-Qa'idatu al-Ula, أن تعلم أن الكفار الذين قاتلهم الرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرون بأن الله تعالى هو الخالق الرازق المدبر وأن ذلك لم يدخلهم في الإسلام والدليل قوله تعالى. And then he mentions a couple of ayats. So he goes that the first principle of shirk is that you need to know and understand that the disbelievers that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم fought, they all accepted and agreed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created, He is the one who sustains, and He is the one who takes care of the worldly affairs. They all agreed to this. So even though they agreed to all of this, this did not enter them into Islam. And then he mentions an ayah in the Quran from Surah Yunus. Surah Yunus is Surah number 10, and the ayah he is referring to is ayah 31, where Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanded to say, who provides for you from the heavens and the earth, or controls the hearing and the sight, and who brings the living out of the dead, and brings the dead out of the living, and arranges every matter, and they shall say Allah, then will you not fear him. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing the fact that the Quraysh of the past, they agreed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created and He sustained and He took care of the worldly affairs, right? They agreed to this concept. But even though they agreed to this concept, it didn't enter them into Islam. Now, that is the first principle. To expand upon this principle itself, we mentioned that Tawheed is pertaining of beliefs and actions. Now, even though they may have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that He is befitting, but they didn't come with the actions that they needed to come to enter them into Islam. So even though a person may believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates and He destroys and He grants life and He takes it away, this belief is not sufficient enough for a person to enter into Islam. But rather it has to be followed up with the Shahada, and it has to be followed up with the five pillars of Islam. And this is what we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Yusuf in ayah 106, when he says, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ, that none of them truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that they are committing shirk. Like we mentioned previously when we defined Tawheed and shirk and showed a couple of the differences and how they are opposite, that we said that you can believe, actually we just mentioned this right now, that you can believe in something but you will not believe in it like it's supposed to be believed in, right? Like a proper belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you believe that fine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates and sustains and destroys and grants life and death and He takes care of the worldly affairs. But you also have to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. I mean, this is the essence of our shahada. When we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, this is what it means, that you testify that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. That this is what you're testifying to. And if you don't fulfill this covenant that you're agreeing to, then you've not fulfilled it, right? Like if you don't come up with the actions that are needed to fulfill this covenant, you have not fulfilled your covenant. And this is what we see. So that even though the Quraysh of the past, they may have accepted the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the creator and the sustainer, yet they didn't come up with these actions and they didn't come up with these shahada. And this is what prevented them from entering them into Islam. About of theirs, that it wasn't the Tawheed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fight them for, but rather it was for the sake of Nabuwa. Let's go, ya ikhwan. Are you sure he didn't fight them? Okay, but he did fight them. Anyone else?
The people of Quraysh understood very well what to do
Ascent. No. The point over here is that the Nabuwa that the Prophet ﷺ came with and the Risala that the Prophet ﷺ came with was the message of Tawheed. So whether you call it Nabuwa or whether you call it Tawheed, it's the exact same thing. Because the Nabuwa, the Prophethood, what were the Prophets sent for? Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. That a messenger was sent to every single nation so that Allah may be worshipped and that the taghut may be avoided, and that anything other than Allah that is worshipped should be warned and refuted. So this was the message and the risal of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the very essence of his nabuwa. So now, just because you're calling it nabuwa and I'm calling it tawheed, it doesn't make a difference, because the essence is the same, that they were both there to establish the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the essence of the first principle, that just because you establish the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that you establish the characteristics and the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of creating and sustaining, this will not enter you into Islam. You have to have sincere worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see that the Quraysh, they got what they deserved. They used to do the exact opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of them in Surah As-Safat, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. That if it was said to them, لا إله إلا الله, that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, they would become arrogant and proud. So we see over here that they knew what the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was. They knew what the risala of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Yet it was their arrogance that turned them away. It was, this is the deen of our forefathers that we worship the idols of Lat and Uzza. How can this man come now and claim that we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone? And that's why you see in another ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Sad, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. That has Muhammad created all of our, you know, lords into one lord? Indeed, this is the strangest of affairs. Because they were used to worshipping all of these idols, and this concept of worshipping one Lord alone was something very strange to them. They're like, how could this be possible? For hundreds and thousands of years now, we've been worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. We always use these, you know, these idols to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the arguments that used to come with. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with that message of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, they were dumbfounded. They were struck with in awe. Yani, how can this man, a man who lived and grew up amongst us, come and change our religion now? So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought them over. That Islam is just not about agreeing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator and sustainer. But rather Islam, the essence of it, is making sure that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And that the one you worship, by default, is perfect in every single manner. That the reason we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because He is the one who created us and sustains us and grants us so many blessings. And vice versa, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect in this manner, then no one else is worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you'll see that the tawheed al-amali and the tawheed al-i'tiqadi go hand in hand. If your tawheed al-i'tiqadi is perfect, then this would necessitate and will bring about the tawheed al-amali. And likewise, if you have true tawheed al-amali, that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, this would necessitate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who is perfect, the only one who grants life and death, the only one who created us and sustains us. So this is the relationship between the tawheed al-amali and the i'tiqadi, that they necessitate one another. So to summarize the first principle, we state that it is not sufficient for a person to affirm Allah's existence and His perfect nature alone to be considered a Muslim. But rather, he has to affirm this and likewise has to single out the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alone in his worship. And this is why Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to fight them. And this is why we see in the hadith narrated in Sahih Muslim by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسَ حَتَّى أَنْ يَشْهَدُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, I was ordered and ordained to fight the people until they testify that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. So again, this was the essence of Islam, the worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone.